All right, guys. As you know, there's a change up in the opening today because I'm here with Earl Harrison and Jocelyn. Later this month, on April 23rd, we will be in downtown Martinsburg recording their little performance amongst other performers at the Chocolate Festival here in downtown Martinsburg off of King Queen Street. You're more than welcome to meet us and them and to speak with them and listen to them perform in downtown at the Chocolate Festival. It's also a book festival. I'll toss everything over to Earl, have him explain more what's going on, who's going to be performing, and then we'll talk to Jocelyn and speak to her and see how she got started with her poetry and spoken word, so forth and so on. Happy to have both in studio. So, Earl?
Chris, first of all, I want to say what a pleasure it is to be here today, and that you are doing the podcast, not just for as an intro to the Chocolate Festival, and I believe that later on you're doing one with Don Ramirez concerning his film presentation at the Martinsburg Arts Center, but that you'll be also doing the podcast for the Chocolate Festival and Book Fair, which it will be, I think, from my perspective, a daunting task because of the length of time. So I just really commend you and thank you for willing to be a part of it. As far as the Chocolate Festival, first off, I guess I would like to say thank you to Main Street Martinsburg, to Randy Lewis, to Harriet Johnson, and to Barbara Brattini for giving us this opportunity. This is our second year. My partner, Don Ramirez, actually came up with the idea a couple of years ago. He wanted to just have like a poetry event. He wanted the square. He wanted the square. He wanted the square in Martinsburg and to have an event. And Don is very artistic and creative, and I was just beginning to do performance poetry. And so we went to the city of Martinsburg, and they directed us to Main Street Martinsburg, to Randy Lewis, and they gave us an opportunity last year to be a part of the Chocolate Festival and Book Fair. And so this is our second year, and we just want to grow off of that. And we have an amazing lineup of artists that will be taking part in the festival this year. And Jocelyn Lowens is here with us today, and hopefully she'll read some of her work, and you're going to be interviewing her too.
Now, who else is going to be at the performing with you and Jocelyn this year?
Okay, we have a theme for the Chocolate Festival and Book Fair, and it's taking it to the next level, a celebration of living through the arts with words, drumming, music, community, and chocolate. And so, first off, again, we want to acknowledge the podcast Tech People, and it's Christopher Lumser, all by yourself, baby. You're doing the heavy lifting. And then Don Ramirez will be the master of ceremonies. He'll be doing the MC work. Don is an amazing artist again, and we're so delighted that Bridget Cohey will be doing the convocation. Bridget is also running for the circuit court judge position here in Martinsburg in the Berkeley County area, and so we're really glad to have her. And she actually is a poet, a good poet in her own right. And then we'll be having Shenandoah Rhythm Jam, the drum circle, with Tracy Pryor Seifers, and it's just a good time. That'll be opening up the show, probably about an hour of drumming. And if you don't have a drum, come anyway, because Tracy will provide a bunch of drums and percussion instruments, and it's just a good time. And then Julie Rivett, who is an amazing singer and songwriter and musician. She'll be playing, and following her will be Kelly McDermott Harmon, who is a published author, and she has a book out that's incredibly funny. It's called Did I Just Say That Out Loud? She'll be followed by Ed Zonizer, just an amazing poet and man of literature. I call him my sensei. I've learned a lot from Ed. And then Keegan Abernathy, a very serious, mellow, just sweet-natured young poet will be following Ed. Keegan is very insightful, very deep. He's a lot like Jocelyn and some of the other younger poets that I know. They just bring this energy and intellect that's refreshing for me, and that they allow me to be in their circle is just amazing. Then I've been invited to be a judge at a slam poetry event in Charlestown, and it's for teens, and it's going to be at the Charlestown Library, and that will be on the 22nd, the Friday before the Chocolate Festival, us being on the square in Martinsburg. And so what I had thought is that we would give 20 minutes, 3 minutes apiece to each of those teenagers, whoever shows up, first come, first serve, and do an open mic with the kids that will have participated the night before. And then so we're hoping, there's two musicians that we're hoping will join us. One is Aaron Lennox. He works at the Martinsburg Library, and he's just a really gifted musician, and we've been talking, and he said he's dusting off his guitar. And then the other one, here it comes, Jocelyn. Justin's probably going to kill me. I hope that Justin Lowens will come and play a tune or two. I listened to an incredible ballad that he wrote the other day. Jocelyn allowed me to hear it, and he's an amazing musician. He really is. We'll have Jocelyn Lowens, and I'll let you guys judge for yourself. She's going to be sharing some of her work today. Just honored to have her. She's a yogini, and just really stretches my imagination in so many different ways. And then she'll be followed by Amber Decker. And Amber is, God, I can't even begin to describe her. She's amazing. I met Amber at one of the events that we did last year at Good Natured, and Jocelyn introduced me to her. She said, "Hi, this is Earl. This is my friend Amber." And Amber just looked me right in the eye, and I could see this confidence in her that really attracted me and appealed to me. You know, not that she was arrogant, but I believe that she knew without even having to tell me that her work is good, her shit is good, you know? And I found out that it really is. She'll be doing a featured performance in Shepherdstown. When is that, Jocelyn?
March 30th, I think.
Yeah, it's at the domestic.
March 30th.
Jocelyn.
I can throw my voice and sound
is
like
my
a man.
Mic on?
She's okay. Good. Sorry she's good. That's Don Ramirez. He's part of the mafia, and it's not long coat. But Jocelyn, when was that, D? When was that?
Don was able to
March
pull that
30th.
Up.
I believe the program starts at like 7, mm-hmm. 7 o'clock, and that's in Shepherdstown, West Virginia at Domestic?
Domestic restaurant.
And that's on Main Street, right on German Street?
Yeah, and so you can Google them. I think it will start at, what time did we start last time? 7? 9? I don't know. Google it. We'll get the information to you. And
just,
then
email it to if you guys want any information, ask the information, send any questions to longcoatmafia@gmail.com. I'll contact Earl and Jocelyn. They'll give me the information, and I'll happy to pass it along to you, our listeners.
Sure. We're sorry we came in with not everything totally intact.
It's fine.
All right. And then so we have this team, these two young guys, Mike Burrell and Gary Chen Fan, who will, Mike's going to be doing some rapping, hip-hop. He used to be pretty popular in the D.C., Washington, D.C. scene, and his stage name, I believe, was Casanova, and really good. He's a nice-looking young guy, and Gary Chen Fan will be doing DJ work, and so it's just really a blessing to have those two with us. Jacob Pratt will be with us. I met Jacob at the last open mic at the Domestic, and he is a fresh voice, a real talent. Then there'll be me, and Jennifer Mann and her cool band will be closing out the show. And so that's basically it.
March 30th, open mic. There is a Facebook event for it, so it's Wednesday, March 30th at 8 p.m. It's 117 East German Street, Shepherdstown, West Virginia. You could probably Google map it. I don't know why am I coming so low, but that's just me. But either way, you could find out, ask questions on that. Either way, we'll We'll probably link to it best way we can when the show is posted. Here's your free bag, Jocelyn.
Thank you.
And I think Earl just handed it off to me, so I'll be talking to Jocelyn now while I'm trying. I'm paying attention. I'm just making sure everybody's levels are nice and comes in okay, and everybody's heard equally. What got you into poetry or spoken word combination thereof?
Oh, it's the type of question I hate to answer.
I know it's probably a routine question for everybody, but
it's not so much that it's a routine question. It's just that it's something that I never exactly paid attention to. You could ask me why I started painting or why I started doing yoga, and I'm going to give you the exact same blank face. And then I'll think about it, and it's something that works with the personality type that I have. It meets a need within myself.
Chris, may I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Jocelyn, can I ask your first public performance of spoken word?
Well, it depends on how rigid we're being with the term public. Because if it's the first time that I've done spoken word in front of living human beings, that would have been in middle school, and that would have been an absolutely horrifying experience.
I was going to say, let's go post-20. Anything after the age of 20.
Post-20, that would have been college, and asking me to remember that is not fair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I know a lot of these might be routine and questions you're asked time in and time out. But for the sake of our listeners, what kind of style do you tend to use?
I don't know if I can give a fair answer to that question. The best that I can do with that is one that speaks to ideas of accountability, of compassion, of humanity, and has a rhythm to it.
Can you give us an example of that offhand?
Example, as in reading something.
Yes,
now?
Please. If you may.
I can totally do that for you.
There are no restrictions, so it could be anything.
Oh, that's good. Give me just a second to pick what that anything will be.
Oh, I don't care if it brings hate, let them hate. And our silence is deafening. We want people.
Your silence is deafening.
Yeah,
that's
our silence from our listeners is deafening.
All right. Let's go with philosophy. Acts. It all comes down to acts. Acts come down to choice. Inseparable are the two from the third, me or you. That is the story in the making. His, hers, a few subtle differences don't matter. Your overdeveloped clitoris is akin to whether or not I shave. I will not be concerned with either when my last breath is near. It is my choices that define, and that is everything. I choose your definition and mine. Nothing alleviates that responsibility. Even in death, she smiles and brings those choices to roost. And you, oh, honey, same goes. Everything on my shoulders you carry too. It's stars and gravity. We both have the burden that is choice.
Now, as you were reading that, I know you did that piece back in Guys and Dolls. All four of us remember what happened at that, or what almost happened at that event. Granted, you, our audience, who have been following the show for the past 8 months or so, you guys didn't get a chance to see Jocelyn almost have a glass of wine being tossed in her face, and she's kind of grinning and smiling over this. A lot of us are grinning and smiling over this. Unfortunately, I kind of remember it offhand because I was helping Earl film the event, and I just so happened to look up and see, huh, what? And you just took that completely in stride, like it ain't no thing. Like, it was I won't say it was planned, but it was.
I hope not. I don't like to get drenched in other people's drinks. So I'm glad that it was able to be avoided, but it's, I think everyone pretty much had the same reaction, which was, is this really happening? No, somebody's not really going to do that. That happens in television shows, and this isn't a sitcom.
I just want to interject real quick. Jocelyn, I want you to know that I demanded an apology for his ungentlemanly behavior, which has yet to come. Yeah, that bothered me.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
For those at home, I went through a stomach bug the past couple of days. I've been trying to rehydrate myself. And the last thing, because of that, and here Jocelyn was reading one of her things that I remember she was reading from that event, which is also available on our website. And I'm about to crack open a drink. I'm like, I don't know if this is the last. I don't think I should be grabbing a drink.
No, it's all good. But, all good. I don't think you want to get your electronics drenched, so I trust you.
But one thing, I don't know how in tune with the poetry community you are. The whole poetry thing is kind of new to me, at least on your level. I know my mom kind of dabbled in it, but I don't think she was that into it as you guys are. But are there many women in poetry, or is it just, you know? Is it kind of skewed?
I don't know
how to word this question.
Yeah, right. And I don't know how to answer it, but I think I know what you're asking. So, you know, the immediate answer is yes, of course, there's a lot of women in poetry. As far as number of performers, comparing the genders, I can't really give that number. I do know that it's been my experience that typically you will see more male performers than you will female performers at a lot of venues. I think that's a reasonable assessment. And there is an aspect, and, you know, here's where we're going to start some hate mail bullshit.
But there is
that aspect where it is more typically acceptable to hear a man speaking from a place of authority than it is for a woman. You know, women say things, and realistically and honestly, we are dismissed in a lot of cases. And, you know, I've had a lot of personal encounters where I can sit down and explain to someone, this is how this is, this is how this needs to work, and they'll pat me on the head. But then when they hear someone who happens to have a penis say the same thing, they suddenly start to listen. You know, and that's not always how it happens, but it is something very typical. And someone who is a performer who happens to not have a penis is going to be dismissed more often than not. And there is this imagery of, oh gosh, female poets, teenage girls on their bed with their diary, he loves me not, bullshit. And that's not necessarily, you know, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but you're also going to have 12-year-old boys writing the same thing in their footy pajamas. So it's like you have this lovely idea, but it's like it goes equally. It's just the men are more forthright in coming out. Women, it's a little harder to put yourself and your voice out there like that.
I'll kind of open this question to Earl as well. You know, I'll be concentrating some questions directly to Earl. From listening to, like, NPR in the past and so forth, I've always heard that being in the poetry field, so to speak, is hard to get noticed, male and female alike, because it's such obscure form of entertainment. Can either of you explain as to why or how come, or is it because it's so obscure or so under the radar?
Again,
as an art form.
Probably using one of the answers to some degree that Jocelyn touched upon. There is a preconceived idea about what poetry is and how it's going to be presented. We talked about it a little bit the other day, and Don and I have had these conversations. A lot of times when you say poetry, people think about a snoozer type of thing. You know, they're up there reading and, oh, what did they say? Oh, yeah, that was very great. And where we're coming at you from is just a very, 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 I think, authentic vulnerability. And I think to be successful as a poet, you have to be willing to be vulnerable, to allow people into where you're at and invite them into the theater of your mind. So there are places in Washington, Baltimore, larger cities, now the Ice House in Berkeley Springs. Jocelyn is talking about maybe doing something in Winchester. The different places in Shepherdstown and now here in Martinsburg. I don't think that it's going to be obscure anymore. I don't think that it ever was. I think that the beat poets and the ones before that, you know, Alfred Lord Tennyson and all these people, they were the rock stars of their days. And so now we're seeing, you know, just this fresh revival. You know, if we watch, you watch the movie Fresh Out of Compton with Ice Cube and all the things that they had to fight through and to contend with to be accepted as serious musicians. And so I'll be quiet because I can
run. Wait, I want to get in on this one, if you don't mind, for a few minutes, Chris. Well, Earl and I, when we first kind of started working on the spoken word, and he had let me know that that was the direction that he wanted to go in, all I could really do was encourage him and the people that I had most admired. And I can say when I was younger, especially in the 90s, I was fortunate enough to live in Baltimore, D.C. area. And I didn't really think that I would go to poetry events. I would go to performances. And this was when the whole what'd you say that you were hosting? What was the term that you used? The slam, the poetry slam. I remember those became real popular in the 90s in the urban environments. But when it comes to spoken word, there are only a few spoken word artists that are well known and have made a life out of it to where that they've lived off their work. I was fortunate enough to see Jim Carroll, who is the writer of the Basketball Diaries. I saw him a couple of times in D.C., and that guy was a serious rock star in the spoken word. I actually got to see Jim Carroll open up for Allen Ginsberg at the Birchmere in the early 90s, and I knew then that I was seeing a true piece of American history and probably one of the most important artists and art figures of the 20th century, Allen Ginsberg. So poetry isn't just this isolated thing. It very much has, just like the film that we'll film program that we're going to talk about later, there's a very symbiotic relationship inside of the arts. So it's hard to think about what Jocelyn and Earl do as poetry in the traditional sense, because they're both incredible performers, and I think that that's really what they're bringing to the stage, and what most of the other young artists and spoken word people, that they look at it more as a performance. It's not this very stoic, isolated kind of experience.
Yeah. Did you care to answer, Jocelyn, before I make a counter question? I didn't want to. I wanted to give you a chance to answer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just kind of jumping on the coattails of these two gentlemen. I think that the answer is potentially yes. It's difficult to get noticed, but at the same time, no, because there's YouTube, there's the internet, there's all of these mediums that you can use to put yourself out there. But beyond that, it's the level to which does that matter. Am I doing these performances so that people pay attention to me?
Exactly.
Not so much. I'm doing it to say something, and if that resonates with other people, fucking fantastic. That's brilliant. I'm glad that I've said something that's meaningful to you, because I'm trying to relay something about my understanding of the human experience. I'm not trying to necessarily be a rock star. Those people are important, but you know, it's, we have to have that mix. You need Kiss, and you need, I don't know, give me the name of a solid musician.
Mozart.
Just There, Mozart. You need Kiss and you need Mozart and you need everything in between.
Yes.
And I would definitely follow up on what Jocelyn's saying with human experience. I think the one thing, and I think the reasons the three of us have developed a good relationship and friendship and at different points in our lives is accessibility. And I know that, Jocelyn, that's something that you've been very, you know, you want your work and you what you do as an artist to be accessible to all, that it's not this kind of elitist experience. And I think that's what we've embraced in the programs that we've put together, and I think that's definitely what Earl has embraced with Chocolate Festival. Very diverse, accessible.
Yeah, and just Chris, I know you want to go to another point. I think listening to what they have been saying and the mood, the tone, I watched this video with Cameron Diaz, and she was talking about her career, about movies, about her job. And one of the things that she said in relationship to fame and to being famous is that's a part of her job. That's not who she is, and that's not why she does it. It's something that becomes a part of it, you know, to some degree, more or less. You can be Martinsburg famous or you can be world famous, but that's not why you do it. You do it for the passion, because there's something inside of you and you've got to let it go. You've got to let it out or you're going to go crazy.
I know, Earl, you brought up, and you, all three of you kind of brought up, there's that stigmata of poetry. Is that stigmata that when people, you say that I'm a poet, I'm a spoken word artist, is their first thought that they go to is the hallmark, I'll use that word as an umbrella term, the hallmark of poetry, that the roses are red, violets are blue, you know, so forth, of the, I want to say the campy romance of it, instead of the more so the DMX and the Eminem or that sort of thing, where it's more the meter and rhyme, the harder edge of poetry where it is now. Because it seems like when someone says, when Earl first directed me to the event, I first went to you. Mm-hmm. He said, come see my friend Earl. He's doing a spoken. I'm like,
right.
I'm thinking hallmarky. You know, I'm thinking, yeah. Oh, he's.
Yeah.
I'm going to see this, you know, sappy, you know, hallmarky of just utter. I'm not thinking Tennyson. I'm just thinking the sappiness of, you know, rhyming and just. I wasn't thinking of your style. I'm not thinking Jocelyn's style. I'm thinking of that hallmark, sweetened, boiled down, Walmart mass-produced bull.
Right.
So
right.
Is it that compared? You know what people come to expect.
Well, I think
this is open to everybody.
Yeah. First of all, I never assumed the title of poet or anything, but people, they need a title or a reference, a point
That's
of reference
a good way of putting it.
To be able to talk about you and your work. And a lot of times their perceptions are a traditional type of viewpoints will enter into what they think when they say poet. When people say poetry to me, I can think all the way from Gil Scott-Heron to some of the beat poets to the earlier traditional romantic poets and even into the Bible, King David, you know, he was a poet. You know, so for me, and because I love poetry, and, you know, you think about football players and basketball players, and they say that guy is a student of the game. I think that I've become a student of poetry and literature because I want to know, I love to learn, and I admire all of those things. There have been times when I've read a Hallmark card, and I've thought, damn, that's exactly what I want to say to her, you know, and I buy it and send it, you know, so, but I understand what you're saying, Christopher, I really do, so I'll just let Don and Jocelyn.
I'll go back to Jocelyn. Mm-hmm. For me, I came of age in the 80s, and it was Henry Rollins and the punk rock mm-hmm. movement that had gotten me interested in spoken word. And I feel like at 50, I turned 50 this year, the day before the Chocolate Festival. So I have this opportunity to look back at the things that have helped to shape me. But punk, for me, is what really made art accessible. And once you have that crack in the door, once you have that your pry bar in and you're breaking it in a little bit, so much more becomes accessible. Because I go from Henry Rollins, Cro-Mags, and Sex Pistols to Pablo Picasso. But without having those first people that helped to make that accessible to me, to help me to understand the creative process, and that you could have, you know, constructive things inside of destructive things. But that was the energy that led me into an interest in much broader literature as well as art. So
I think that your question is a typical question, but I think it comes from this odd perception that we have of the arts. So if you look at Shakespeare, he was a body motherfucker, and he was for the masses. He has become something elevated. If you have couth and you are elegant, you might go watch a Shakespeare play. But back in the day, it was the everyday man that was going to go watch Shakespeare because he had jokes about penises, and it was really fun. So we have this idea that the arts are, you know, are really elevated, but it really has always been this group of, you know, lovely, soft things written down in stories and poetries and spoken and recited. But then you also had, you know, highly sexualized, you had highly violent. Those things always existed. It's just when you go back to an older version of our language or any language, it sounds prettier, or you change the words slightly. And so it's really just Hallmark isn't art. Hallmark is a commercial. The arts themselves are always an expression of the times and the experience, and it's pretty much always the same things. We're just always trying to find a new way to say it. And that was a little bit of a roundabout way to spit out what I was thinking. But it's like we ask these questions because we have a ridiculous idea that the arts are elevated up here, but they're not. It's just one way to express what's going on with humanity.
Beautifully put.
If I can follow up with Jocelyn, and definitely with Earl and a lot of the other artists, there's always this subversive element in who and what we are. And I've always taken great pride in knowing the history of the arts and knowing those with the subversive voices. Those are the ones that died in the concentration camps under the Hitler regime. Those are the ones that have, in different cultures, society, and for the past 100 years, have been the ones that have challenged the status quo, have been able to point out that this isn't right or that isn't right. So there is a beauty in what we do in not being inside of the mainstream, you know, that this is the thing where ideas are cooked and baked and affect all of us.
To bring it back around to Jocelyn, because I feel like me as a host, I want to concentrate more so on Jocelyn, but I kind of brought it.
Because she's everybody. Prettier now.
She's
come on,
beautiful. Oh, my God. Chris, you're over there drooling.
I'm so happy that my importance is relegated to my physical appearance.
She just gave us the finger. She's brilliant. She is.
Because it's how my mind works. I got a little bit of that ADD type of thing. It splits, comes back, and stretches out again. Who inspired you to become? I don't know if I asked it. Who inspired you to become a dude?
I can't pin it down to any one
in particular
individual, because it's not just, for me, it's not just poetry. Everything that I do, I'm also a painter, I write a blog, I write poetry, I do yoga and teach yoga. All of these things kind of come together and coalesce. Inspiration from that comes from a great many experiences in my life and a great many people. I can't, to pin it down would be, would make it almost irrelevant to place that on one person.
So, again, I feel like I'm underestimating it as well as broadening the stroke, so to speak. So it's a way of a release as much as being artistic, so to speak.
I think it's more of a way to for me to process things. Not so much a release. It's a way for me to reach some level of understanding, if not acceptance. Because life is what it is. There's absolutely not a damn thing that I'm able to necessarily control beyond my own self and my own actions. And being able to have commentary and process things in that way so that I'm saying something as clearly as I possibly can and speaking to the reality of events and the truth of things as I see them as best as I'm able to hopefully impart some level of understanding on the people around me and maybe elevate my own consciousness and understanding through this process. That is the absolute best that I can do.
Chris, do you think that we could hear another segment of Jocelyn's work?
Yeah. If she's more than willing, I'd be more than happy to. We've got plenty of time.
All righty then. This one does not have a title. Although maybe I should make that the title. That might be amusing. Get your fingers out of my vagina. Didn't your mommy and daddy teach you no manners? And while we're at it, I get that your religion is like your penis. You are so fucking proud. But please, get it out of my face and stop shoving it down my throat. And those kids' throats, too. Trust me, most of us still have a gag reflex. Oof, do you get me mad? Better pissed off than pissed on. You are trying my nerves with both. Am I not civil enough for your civil liberties? My body, my mind, my soul, mine, not yours. Keep your grubby self at a civil distance. I think you forgot your manners.
Thank you, Jocelyn. I'm going to swing this back around to Earl. And because he's going to be one of the other performers at this event on April 23rd. The event starts at, what, 10 o'clock?
It starts at 10 o'clock, yes.
10 o'clock.
We'll actually be on the square probably setting up at 9 or so. And it starts at 10, and it will run straight through till 4 o'clock that evening.
We still have plenty of time. We're at the 38-minute mark, which is it looks by the smile on his face, it's what you were gunning for, is what it is.
Yes.
To speak with you for a few minutes, we'll be doing a separate full fledged show with Earl, and we'll iron out the details with Earl to get the complete history with Earl and his thoughts and so forth. But to get an abbreviated version with Earl for right now, for the sake of this promo episode for the Chocolate Festival, what got you started into poetry and your inspirations?
My mother, mom, definitely. Yeah, I was born in Morgantown, West Virginia, but grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. And my parents, like so many people that were coal miners, followed the Rust Belt. You know, and you went from the coal mines to like this place where the streets were supposed to be paved with gold, the steel mills, you know, in the inner cities of Cleveland and Detroit, and we see how that turned out for everybody. And so growing up in the inner city, my mom, you know, she was a preacher's daughter, and she had 8 kids. And so there weren't the video games and all the things that you amuse oneself with today, children anyway, young people. We played in the streets. You know, we ran races, we fought, we boxed, did things like that. But my mom, she loved literature, and she would take us to the Cleveland, one of the Cleveland public libraries, and she would get tons of books. And it ranged all the way from Grimm's Fairy Tales, you know, just to whoever, Little Black Sambo, Aesop's Fables, everything. And she would act out these stories. And she was my hero. She was my first crush. So my love for poetry, for literature, was a transference of fire from my mom's heart to mine.
Did you have an inspiration to get you into the spoken word or into the doing what you're doing now?
I had gone through a divorce a number of years ago, and one of the things that I was doing was writing. You know, it was cathartic for me, and I was putting down ideas and thoughts, and pieces began to come out of that. And I joined this this group of performers. It was very eclectic at the old train station in Shepherdstown. It was called Goose Root, and Kitty Clark was the leader of it. And as I was involved in that, I was exposed to poets, to poetry, to all types of things. And that's when I began to think that it could be more than just reading. You know, I had a background in theater, and so to be able to use theater to share poetry, to tell a story, for me, that became very intriguing.
So other than Don trying to get you to do this last year,
I didn't try to get him to do nothing. I just gave him a little bit of information and kind of pointed him this way or that. He's been
spearheading
ever
since.
I was a sounding board.
Yeah. Don was very.
Sometimes he would get mad at me.
Oh, I definitely.
But I'm always honest.
Yeah. Don can be very direct, and I would want to kill him. But I have this great team around me, and now you guys are part of it, and I'm part of your team. But you know, just so many people, Deborah and Miles Lee, they have been so incredible and inspirational. Susan Maddox, I told her when we first met a number of years ago that I was a writer, and she said, "Well, why don't you write?" And I was like, you know, so God has placed people in my life now, you know, like with Jocelyn and Justin and other people. I believe that God, and some people say the universe or just life, you know, that brings things together, but I don't believe that anything is by accident. Nothing.
Because I know there's going to be some of my friends and some of my listeners probably mentioned to me, I'll be their voice. Why spearhead something like this? Why Martinsburg? When you could bring something like this to the Bright Box in Winchester or Hickson, why Martinsburg?
Because it's my hometown, and there's an open heaven over this place, and we live here. And
because
I know
we live here. That's enough.
We live here. Yeah.
Yeah, we live here.
To try to fill that void and finally bring people here.
I don't know if it's necessarily a void. It's almost like the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. And being involved with dynamic, creative people. Such as yourselves and the other people that are in my life, why not? Let's celebrate. Let's do this.
Right.
This is our passion. And allow people.
Community.
Yeah.
Right. So we celebrate our community.
Yeah, and to help people find their voice, to find their voice, I think that's important because some people don't know that they have a voice, but we all have a voice.
So right now we're at the 43-minute mark. Could you reiterate the aspects of the Chocolate Festival for us, or would you like to give us a brief demo yourself?
Well, the thing is that with all the events that's going to be there, I forgot to say there's going to be a kissing booth, and I'm going to be in the booth, and it's the kisses are free for all
Come
the girls.
Come on now, if you want to meet up Earl.
Why are you giving them the finger for that bullshit? Come on.
I'm teasing. I'm teasing.
I could probably bring something up. My middle finger. I'm just going to shake my head.
I'm just trying to get them started. I did it.
You
I succeeded.
You outstretched your finger at yoga.
I did.
Give it a rest.
I succeeded.
So,
yay, Earl.
I think my kissing booth would be more popular.
Oh, definitely.
That's all I got to say.
It definitely would.
So, I'm not going to say challenge drop.
No.
Josh will probably
agree.
Just walk
I agree
and
with her.
In the face.
I agree with her totally.
So, anything else you want to say?
No, just come on.
Date and time, one more time.
Yeah, date and time.
Date and time, Jocelyn.
Saturday, April the 23rd, in historic downtown Martinsburg, West Virginia, the Chocolate Festival. We're on the town square at what time, Mr. Hairston?
We start at 10 o'clock, and we'll be rolling through till 4 p.m. We want all you guys and gals to come on down and rock with us.
That's historic downtown Martinsburg, West Virginia, 10 a.m. to what time? 4 p.m. Saturday, April 23rd.
Just look for the purple tent.